Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your heart and mind as our pastor, Chip Pendleton, brings us the Word of God.
Well, have you ever thought that you looked at someone and you thought, they look like somebody famous? We probably have all had that before as we're doing. Dawn and I were in the airport in Moldova about to fly home through Munich, and I looked over at Dawn and I said, Dawn, that guy looks just like Vladimir Putin. I tell you, that is Vladimir Putin right there. I mean, we were on the Ukrainian border. That's him right there. He was flying economy, but you know, you never know. You never know. Could have been. Well, some of you may have heard the name of Dawson Gurley. If not, some of you may have heard Dawson Gurley's story. Dawson Gurley looks like Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors. And he looks like him so much that people stop him on the streets. So now he started wearing Golden State Warriors gears in San Francisco, walking around and signing autographs and stuff. Here's a picture of Dawson Gurley. And next to him, that's a picture of Klay Thompson. So Dawson's the one with the hoodie. This is Klay next to him. Who thinks they look anything alike? You know, they look a little bit alike. You might be able to see that. Well, Dawson Gurley got famous not because he looks a little bit like Klay Thompson, but the last time the Golden State Warriors were in the NBA Finals, hear me now, the NBA Finals, he went through five levels of security, five levels, never said anything, just walked through and they moved the gates, walked out onto the court and started warming up. This is a picture of him out on the court, right here, the next picture that we have. There he is, NBA Finals. Warming up. He warmed up for 10 minutes until somebody finally saw he was shooting nothing but air balls and figured out that it wasn't Klay Thompson, although maybe it might have been. And they came up and they escorted him out, and he has now been permanently banned from ever attending another Golden State Warriors game because he went out and shot on the floor. He was acting, playing like he was Klay Thompson. Well, in our scripture today over in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be talking about when we start acting and playing like we're God. This is a short passage of scripture. It's verses 1 through 5. It's a very short section from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. And it's about judging other people. And when you judge other people, you're taking the place of God. Let's look down to Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when at the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word as we open it now. Lead us and guide us and help us to live accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we begin Matthew chapter 7 here, the very first thing we see is this. God is the only one who has a right to judge people. God is the only one who has a right to judge people. Look at verse 1 of our scripture passage. Do not judge, or you will be judged. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, when I first read that, what occurred to me was, okay, to really answer this and to see if I'm doing it, I need to figure out what it means to judge somebody. What's it actually mean to judge someone? In our context, to judge someone means to form a critical opinion of them, usually negative, a critical opinion about someone based on their appearance, their actions, or their feelings. So you're judging someone's worth, you're making judgments about them merely because of their appearance, their actions, or how you may feel about them. And we do it all the time in almost every situation in life. When we were coming home from Moldova and we got on the plane from Munich to Atlanta, and I immediately made a judgment about someone. They sat in the seat right across from me. There's the aisle and there's a seat. This lady came in. She was dressed as, a hippie, I'll say. You know, she came in, she sat down, her hair on both sides was shaved, and there was tattoos there, and then she had tattoos up and down her arms and legs, and then the stewardess comes by and said, "Are you the person that ordered the vegan meal?" And she said, "Yes," and they said, "Okay, we'll bring you that first," and then the lady sitting next to her said, "And where are you from?" And she said, "San Francisco." Now, immediately, Chip Pendleton formed a judgment about this person. Okay, you know, I said, because of the way you look in your vegan meal in San Francisco, you're a San Francisco wacko. That's immediately what came in my mind when I saw this. I made that judgment about that person. But then, being a good pastor, I listened to other people's conversations, you know. And so the lady next to her then said, "So, are you on vacation here in Munich and going back home?" And she said, "Oh, no, no, no. I work for a military contractor. I was in the Army for 25 years, and when I retired, I began to work for a military contractor, and I've been going through several of the bases in Germany and training some of our military personnel. And I can't wait to get home because I've been away from my daughter for almost 3 weeks, and I can't wait to get home and give that precious little girl a hug." And I said, "Okay, not what I had envisioned when I first made the initial judgment about this person that was there." And so we make judgments about people all the time, and they're based literally on nothing that we're doing it. The problem with judging someone by the way they look, with judging someone without knowing them at all, is you can't judge the quality of a person or a person's heart or what they've been through simply by looking at them. When you judge a person because of the color of their skin, or you judge a person because of the kind of clothes they wear, or the accent that they have, or the region of the world they come from, the problem is you're doing something that only God has a right to do. You're judging a heart, and only God knows their heart. We don't even fully know our own heart ourselves. The scripture says the heart is deceptive above all things, but God knows who we truly are and how we truly are, and He's the only one that has a right to judge anybody. That's why in verse 1 it says, when you judge people, that is how God is going to judge you. So if you're judging someone and making opinions about them based on appearance, is that how you want God to judge you? But sometimes we judge people based on their actions. We see their actions and we say, okay, what they're doing is wrong, what they're doing is bad, therefore they are a bad person because they're doing something wrong. So we've made a judgment about them. But again, that's something only God knows the truth of. If you're judging someone because of a bad behavior, guess what? Look around the room. You can judge anybody in this room at any time on any day. If you look long enough, we all fail, we all mess up, because we're not in this room because we're good people. We're in this room because we're forgiven people. God forgave us when we didn't deserve it. And yet we're so willing to judge other people by their actions and their appearance, and maybe we don't know anything about them or why they're acting the way that they are or the kind of life they've had leading up to that. And finally, what if they really did do something bad and you think they really do deserve to be punished and they are really bad people? Again, you don't have a right to make that judgment. Listen to what Romans chapter 14, verse 4 said. "Who do you think you are to judge another person's servant? Only their master can judge them." Wow. You see, you didn't create that person. You know nothing about them, and they're not going to stand before you on judgment day. God is the only person that has a right to judge us and who we are, because He's the only one that truly knows us and knows how we are. And so when we put all of this together, we simply begin with the prospect that many times we play God. We act like we're God and we make judgments about people and people's worth and people's heart when we know nothing about that person at all. We are making a judgment only their master has a right to make, and their master is not us. That brings us to a second thing we see in our scripture. And that's this. Before you're critical of somebody else, you need to examine your own actions. Before you're critical of another person, you might want to take a stop and look at your own, you're living your life. Look at verse 2. "In the same way you judge others, that's how you're going to be judged. With the measure you used, it will be measured back to you again." So this is the idea that we say, okay, if you want God to forgive you, if you want God to give you grace, if you want people to understand, hey, someday I just had a bad day. This isn't me. I'm tired. I didn't mean to kick the cat when I walked home. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, I'm having a bad day. If you want people to give you the benefit of the doubt, then you need to do the same for them. But if you don't, if you say, oh, Lord God, forgive me. Oh, Lord God, you know, I had a bad day. Oh, Lord God, please wash me clean. But then you're not willing to forgive anybody else. Then why should God forgive you? And so we're told that what's going to happen is that the way we give out judgment to others, that's how God's going to look back at us and say, why do you deserve anything less than what you're giving to other people? Do you want people to be patient with you? Do you want people to be understanding of you? Do you want people to know what's really going on in your life and what you've been through and why that bothered you so much when it might not bother somebody else because of past experiences? Then you've got to be willing to give people the same benefit of the doubt. So if you want grace and forgiveness, then you have to give it to others. You can't be judgmental, uncaring, and condemning of other people's behavior and then expect God to give you grace and forgiveness when you need it. You've got to give what you want. Basically, what it's saying is, you know, what goes around comes around. You treat people one way, that's how you're going to be treated back again. A year or two ago, Dawn and I were coming back from Florida on vacation. We're going through, like, Corbin, Kentucky, on the interstate there about the Corbin exit. And they were having something called a moving roadblock. Anybody ever heard of a moving roadblock? Yeah, what a moving roadblock is they stop this lane of traffic, and when you can't move and you get over the other lane, then they get over and stop it, too, to make sure you can't go anywhere. So that's my interpretation of what a moving roadblock is. At least that's how it was working that day. And so nobody was going anywhere. They're creating this huge traffic jam thinking they were helping and all this kind of stuff. And then there was one car that started up. I hear all these horns blowing. The car's driving right down the middle of the road. And cars are having to move aside. And then it would get over and it would go in the emergency lane and it'd go that way. And then it would cut it in front of another car. And finally, as it's going through the middle, a big old truck comes over and blocks the middle lane. So he goes over and he hits the emergency lane. And when he does that, the truck in front of him moves over in the emergency lane. And now you have truck, and car here in the emergency lane. And they start driving really, really slow. And they do that till they get to an overpass. And when they get to the overpass, the truck in the emergency lane comes over. They both kind of stop till the guy can go nowhere. He's stuck against the overpass. And then they take off. And I said, well, you know, you act one way, you get treated the way that you've acted. That's exactly what happened on the interstate that day. What our scripture says is, the way you treat people, is that how you want God to treat you? Or do you want people to forgive you when you don't deserve it? Then you need to be willing to forgive people even when they don't deserve it. And that brings us to the next thing that we see in our scripture. Does that mean that we can never correct anybody? Does that mean we can never point out when somebody's doing something wrong or when somebody is doing something we think is helpful? And the answer is no, there is a time of correcting and warning. There is a proper time for correcting and warning. Look down to verses 3 and 4. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all that time there's a plank in your own eye? So basically what Jesus is saying is this. We look at another person and we judge them. Look at that little speck of sawdust in your eye. But we've never looked at ourselves and understood that they may have a speck of sawdust in their eye. We got a beam in our eye, you know, and we're judging them because of that. So you can't judge people just based on that. You have to be willing to go a little bit further. But we use this first, don't judge, you'll be judged, to mean we can never point out if somebody's doing anything wrong. We can never form a critical opinion about somebody. And we can't tell somebody that we think they're not living the right way. None of which is the case. I had a friend in college who was having an affair with a married woman, another student. And he was a Christian. He went to church every Sunday. We were having lunch one day, and I just said, man, what you're doing, this is just isn't right. And he said, well, show me somewhere in the Bible where it says it's not right. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. How about the 7th commandment not to commit adultery? And he said, well, her husband just ignores her. She likes me better, and so I think God would prefer that. And I said, interesting exegesis of that scripture. I don't really think that, you know, it's quite what the scripture passage is saying. And then he came up with this. Oh, how about this, Mr. Holier than thou art? Don't judge or you'll be judged. So is that what it means? You can never tell anybody they're doing something wrong or warn somebody or point out that their lifestyle isn't fitting to God. And that's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, Scripture over and over again encourages us, especially in the family of God, to hold each other responsible for our actions and our behavior. A lot of the New Testament is written trying to correct some bad actions and behavior by people that are in the church. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to correct someone's actions and bad behavior, then there's two principles that you need to follow. Both of them are found in our Scripture. And the first is this: before you say anything to them, you need to examine your intentions. Why am I doing it in the first place? Why am I going to say something to him? What's my intention in doing it? Jesus said, don't point out the speck of sawdust in their eye if you've got a beam in your own eye. So let's talk about some of the things we need to do if we're going to examine our intentions. Are you coming forward to say something because you have a preconceived bias or prejudice? Do you have a preconceived bias or prejudice simply because of something that the person looked or acted or did that made you feel a certain way? I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I've given you all these stories from our trip because I wrote this on the trip. Sorry. You know, it's just the way it is. Dawn and I were eating dinner in Munich. Across from us, five guys having a good time, young, all this. The waiter comes up and says, are you on vacation? And they said, no, we're here on business. And he goes, oh, where are you from? And they said, well, we're from Russia. And I said, Dawn, that was Vladimir Putin. Those are Russians, and they're on the plane with him. I immediately formed a perception about these people. They're Russians, and they're with Vladimir. You know, I knew all of that was going on almost immediately just by hearing the fact that they were from Russia. Are you making an opinion about someone, saying it simply because of that preconceived notion? A second thing, are you judging someone for something you're doing yourself just to make you feel better about it? We do that all the time, too. If we can find somebody doing the same thing that we're doing, it makes us feel better about ourselves. So you're just trying to feel better about yourself. In verse 5, it says, when you do that, you're a hypocrite because you're doing the exact same thing. 3, are you doing it in an especially harsh way to make them look bad or to gossip about them? Is what you're saying trying to make them look bad, trying to make them feel bad, trying to show other people that they're a bad person? Is it especially harsh? Are you trying to make them look bad? Another thing, are you doing it to make yourself feel better or superior to them? When I point out the bad things that you do, it just makes me feel better because I'm such a good person. You know, I look at myself and I see how good I am and how bad you are, and man, I just feel good about myself after I do that. Is that why you're pointing it out in the first place? And finally, do you really even know if it's true? Before you point out something to somebody or tell somebody else about it, do you even know that it's true in the first place, or is that just a preconceived thing that you've tried to figure out? So judge your own intentions. Why are you doing it? And when you judge your own intentions, it brings us to the second thing. There's only one reason you should ever warn, criticize, or tell someone else about another person's behavior. And that is if it's for their benefit and it's helpful to them. That's the only reason. It's not because it's good gossip and somebody needs to hear it. It's not because it makes you feel better about yourself. It's not because they're a bad person and you need to tell them they're a bad person. It's because you want to help that person. That's the only reason. Look at verse 5 of our scripture passage. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Verse 5 is really important. It doesn't say you can never tell anybody anything or warn them or criticize them or point out their bad behavior. It says examine your own intentions first. And if your intentions are pure, if you've taken that plank out of your own eye, if you're doing it to help them and for the right reasons, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of their eye. So there is a time for taking the speck out of your neighbor's eye. There is a time for warning and criticizing and letting the person know that they're living in the wrong way and it's hurting them and it's hurting other people. And that time is if you're doing it to help them and for their benefit. And sometimes to help them and for their benefit means that you're just going to do it privately. Nobody else is ever going to know you and them had that conversation. Sometimes you're going to have to do it more publicly if it's going to really help them in the right way. But you've got to do it for one reason only, because you want to help them and you want to benefit them. The next time you tell a piece of juicy gossip about somebody and you tell it to another person, ask yourself this one question while you're talking. Is what I'm doing helping and benefiting that person? Or is it just sharing a good story that I know? Because if it's not helping and benefiting that person, you should just keep your mouth shut. Because all you're doing is hurting them for your own enjoyment. That's the only thing that's happening there. So we're told not to judge, or we will be judged, but it doesn't mean we're not trying to help people, we're not trying to correct people, we're not trying to push people in the right direction. But when we do those things, we're doing it because we want to help them. Vance Johnson used to play for the Denver Broncos when John Elway was the quarterback. Anybody a fan of those John Elway Denver teams? Yeah, two people, three. Okay. All right. Well, John Elway, great quarterback. He had a trio of receivers. Anybody know what they were called? The Three Amigos. Okay. Here's a picture of John Elway and the Three Amigos right there. Vance Johnson's number 82. He was one of the Three Amigos, one of the greatest receivers of all time. They said he made some of those incredible catches you'd ever seen. He tells the story one time, Elway threw a bad pass, and he got his hand on it and just about caught it and dropped it at the last second, and they were coming in, and Elway said, "Why didn't you catch the ball?" And Johnson said, "Well, why didn't you throw a ball I could catch?" He had a lot of confidence as they went into it. But Vance Johnson's life was miserable from the day he was born. His dad was abusive. His parents broke up. He was raised by a distant family member who had little to do with him. He got on alcohol and drugs. He said, "I did everything wrong that you could do." In his 10 years in the NFL, he said he was stoned and drunk almost every single game that he played his entire career. And he said that in it all, that he just kept spiraling more and more out of control. Played 10 years. In 10 years, he had 7 wives. And he said most of those marriages broke up because of his own actions and the things that he was doing. And then he tried to commit suicide 4 times while he was in the NFL. One time he tried to cut his wrist, and he went down and took such a big chunk out of his arm, they had to take literally flesh out of his thigh to put it back on his arm again. And in it all, the team just kept putting him back on the field because the one thing he could do was catch a football. And then after he retired, he was drunk and he was stoned both one night, and a friend sent him a message that said, "My car got stuck in a snowbank. Can you come pick me up?" He didn't get the message till the next morning. He called his friend the next morning, and the friend said, "Well, you didn't call, and I called my son, and he's just 16, and he came to get me. Hit a patch of ice, and he's dead." Vance Johnson took an entire bottle of pills and tried to kill himself. Picture him in the hospital right here. He was in that hospital in a coma for over 3 months. They said he would never come out of the coma. He did end up coming out of the coma. And they kept trying to get him to go to rehab. And he said, "You're not going to give me. I'm not. That's stupid. I'm not doing that." And then a friend of his named Randy Grimes, who played in the NFL with him, was with the Tampa Bay Bucks at the time, was in rehab himself. And Randy Grimes called Johnson. And he said, "Vance, my friend," he said, "you're killing yourself." And he said, "I'm killing myself." And he said, "But I found something here in this rehab. And it's Jesus." And he said, "Nothing's going to help you but Jesus. You need to go to rehab and you need to get Jesus." So Vance Johnson agreed to go to rehab, took nothing with him, no stitch of clothes, no toothbrush. He just took a Bible he bought on the way. During that time, he gave his life to Christ, and it changed everything. But this is why he did it. He said, "My whole life, people wanted me to get off alcohol and drugs. And I never cared and I never listened because all they wanted was something out of me. My family wanted me to stay off drugs so the gravy train would keep going and they could keep getting all the money that was coming in." He said, "I would go and play football games and I would show up at the game stoned out of my mind or drunk." And he said, "My teammates would run me up and down the stairs of the field until I would throw up over and over again trying to get it out of my system just so I could catch a pass when I got out on the field that day. But nobody ever cared about me until Randy Grimes called and wanted something for me, for my benefit, to help me." We gossip about people all the time. We tell people things that make them look bad and hurt them, and we do it for our own enjoyment, and we pass judgment upon them, and only God has a right to do that. What you need to understand is as God forgave you, you forgive others. And if you speak a word to them of criticism, it's for one reason. It's to help them. Here's a picture of Vance Johnson today. His whole life has changed. He is now a drug and rehab counselor, and he goes around the country telling people about Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus does when someone comes because they care. Do you care enough about your friends to not criticize them, but to point them to Jesus? Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you that you forgave us when we didn't deserve it. Help us to forgive others as well, even when they don't deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, keyword MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.